Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Shaarei, Wednesday night learning. You want to sit all the way over there, honey?
Wow.
You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome back to our learning at Shaarei. We are learning Le'ilui Nishmas and Le'zeich Nishmas and Miriam Fun. Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom. May the Neshama have a continuous Aliyah and the Zechus of the Torah that we will share this evening. And it should bring Zechuyos to Tova to the entire Fun family. For only Simchas, Nachas, and Besoros Tovas and good health. For their continued support of the Devrei Torah that we share. Le'ilui Nishmas, their mother, Allah HaShalom. So let us continue our learning. I ask you, because our first week back after 3 weeks, after being off for Pesach, and Baruch Hashem, it was wonderful to be back and to continue our learning. So we're talking about the inclination of man and the nature of man, ra mini urav, evil from his youth. Is man primarily a yetzer hatov being pulled by a yetzer hara, or is man primarily a yetzer hara being pulled by a yetzer hatov? And what is the balance between the two? And how do we deal with the balance between the two? V'hafta shamakecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshcha b'chol medecha. Why b'chol levavcha, double b's? Should just say b'chol libcha, with all your heart. So Rashi says there, b'shnei yitzirecha. Devar and Perikvah Pasuk. Hey, Rashi says b'shnei yitzirecha, because you have two inclinations. We are not, you know, a one-dimensional figure. We are a very multi-dimensional creation, and we have two inclinations. And there's a constant battle between those two bases. It's interesting. I just thought of something. I actually never thought of it in my life. B'chol levavcha. So there's a double base. So I don't know, we call it a bais, but it's really a bai. Like the letter itself is like bai. Like we call it tav, shinsin tav, saf. It's not really tav, it's really tav. Okay? The letter is a tav, not tav. Sometimes we mispronounce the letter. So the bias is, the bais is a bias. If you have to write out the letter bais, you understand what I'm trying to say? Every letter in Lashon HaKodesh should be written out. Like aleph is aleph, but it's also aleph lamed pei. Mem is mem, but it's also mem mem. Okay, tav is not tav, it's really tav vav. Okay, so bais is really bias. Like dalet that we call dalet, it's really dalet. It's not dalet, it's dalet. Okay, so bias, it's interesting that the bais is the bias, so a double bias. So what you can really say is the Yetzer tov makes himself at home in yourself, and the Yetzer also makes him a home for himself. B'chol levavch is a double bais. Double bais means it's double bias. What's the double bias? The Yetzer finds a bias by you, he becomes a ben bias, and the Yetzer tov also becomes a ben bias. Remember, nothing in Lashon HaKodesh is an accident. Nothing is an accident. So if the Yetzer is symbolized by a double bais, Rashi Mamash says it there, b'shnei yitzirecha, right? Rashi also says, your heart should not be divided over God. It should be a complete heart. But Lamaisa, it's a double base, because there's two bnei bias by you. The one ben bias is the Yetzer HaTov. He makes himself perfectly comfortable. He set up shop in your house. He's there. He moved in. And then there's the Yetzer Hara also. So how do you contend with these dual tenants who are really living in the bias that is your human personality? And it's a very good question. How do we contend with this double ben bias? And really, they don't get along. It's like having a Yaakov and an Esav inside of you, and they are contending for power. And what do you do with this? Okay, so we're on page 258 of the Sefer. Everyone is muted, yeah? We're on page 258 of the Sefer. Shoshana, who doesn't have her last name. Were you just in my other shir, and you were one of the two people whose screen was open? That's so nice. Thank you so much. Okay, Baruch Hashem, back to back. Nice to see you again. And you were only one of the only two people in that shir whose screen was open. Thank you. Okay. Page 258. If a person were essentially, I'm just going to start from the top, even though we're at the second paragraph, I'd just like to recap by one paragraph so we know where we're up to. If a person were essentially in a positive state, so if your primary ben bias was your Yetzer Tov, and the Yetzer Hara would try to remove you, it would have a difficult task. If your primary force is the inclination of good, and you try to be evicted from, I think it's a very good analogy, I think it's very interesting that there's a double base representing the double Yetzer, which represents two bnei bias, and now the Yetzer Hara comes, and he tries to evict you, he wants to move you, he says, get out. He would have a relative, while the Yetzer, it would have a difficult task. Why would it have a difficult task? Because you're primarily the Yetzer HaTov, the good inclination. So the task of the Yetzer HaTov is relatively easy. You're primarily a Yetzer HaTov, so he doesn't have to do so much. It will be very hard for the Yetzer Hara to evict you from the house of the Yetzer Tov. This was the condition before the Chet. Before sin, Yes, Yaakov and Esav are always in conflict, Nancy. It's even worse when they're conflict inside of you. And you really have a big struggle. So that was a condition before chet. Before the first sin, you were primarily good, and the Yetzer Hara was trying to sway you to do evil. But after the chet, after the first sin, this farmer, I think in this... Oh, they're there? Okay. However, after the chet, after the first sin, when one is in the state of Yetzer Lev Adam Ramin Urav, the inclination of a man's heart is evil from his youth, he has a strong connection to evil. It's so hard. In this world, we are so strongly connected to the Yetzer Hara. He's a much stronger Ben Bias. He's a much more frequent visitor. It's the nature of sin. It's the nature of being kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And it's the nature of Galus. And the Yetzer Hara's task is much easier than that of the Yetzer Tov. So now it's much easier for the evil inclination than for the good inclination. The Yetzer Tov, quote, must work very hard to relocate him to a world of total goodness. That means our Yetzer Tov must work very hard to relocate us to a world of total goodness. But the truth is, and maybe you could relate to this, maybe you can't relate to it, I certainly can relate to it very, very much. But the truth is that man's middle paragraph on page 258. But the truth is that man's state before the sin is not only a matter of the distant past. So you can't say, oh, once upon a time, you know, they were in a state of sin, but today it's much better. That state as well is the potential in each one of us. So you potentially can remake yourself to be like before the sin. You can. There is a Hani Machlo. She lived in our time. It is possible that there is such a person in this world. It's possible. It is possible that we have great Gedolim. There was a Rabbi Zechariah's aunt. I have no words. It is possible that a person can make themselves into a Rabbi Zechariah Wallerstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It's possible to totally to have that Yetzer HaTov be your primary Ben Bias and to totally push you on a path where you are kulo l'tova and constantly doing for tzarchei tzibur. So you can say that's only before sin, and that's a matter of the distant past, because we see tremendous gedolim who lived in our day and age. They started out as regular people just like us, and they transformed themselves and the world along with them to become giants of people. So you see that it's potential within each one of us. I remember someone told me about Hani Machas. They went to school. She was a very regular person when she went to school. She wasn't like, you know, like there was an aura of light shining around her, like there were signs that says, you know, destined to be a tzaddikah. She was just a regular person when she started off. I didn't know Rabbi Zechariah Wallerstein Zatzal before, but I assumed that he too is some kind of regular kid. But they made themselves into giants. So you see that it's not only a matter of the distant past, that people can plant themselves and build themselves and grow themselves into something so tremendously enormous. There is the potential in each one of us. But like Rabbi Zev Lef says, potential is a bunch of zeros. If you put a one, just one movement, one step, one impetus for change, one good deed before all those zeros, then a bunch of zeros can turn into $100, and a bunch of zeros can turn into 1,000, and a bunch of zeros can turn into 1,000,000. But what do you have to do? You have to have the koach to move the Yetzer Hara, the Ben Bias, out of your house, and to move the Yetzer Hara as the primary tenant, to allow yourself to put the one before all the zeros. Rabbi Zev Lef says potential is wonderful, but it's a bunch of zeros. It's a big string of zeros. Only if you put a one, you do something, then it becomes gewaldik. And that's what we've seen in our day. There are such people. Tzadikim, their hearts are under their control. See, it's so interesting. I brought up the Shema because it's quoting the Medrash. You see the Medrash Rabba? It tells you the footnote. Okay, Samech Zayin. I brought the Medrash here. We're going to look at it inside. But it's interesting that the author quotes the Medrash that talks specifically about tzaddikim, their hearts are under their control. That's really what I'm saying from the Shema, when I quote, V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, you should love the Lord God with all of your heart. Double base, you have a double ben bias by you. So by tzaddikim, their hearts are under their control. They've worked hard to plant their trees in a world of goodness. Rabbi Zechariah Wallerstein set down roots and planted, I don't know, how many trees with how many leaves and how many payros did he give forth? Thousands and thousands? We can't even count. They planted their trees in a world of goodness. I heard Rabbi Zev Lef once say a very interesting medrash. And that is, how did Avram Avinu know when he got to the land of Canaan? It's going to relate to this piece here, this paragraph. How did Avram Avinu know when he got to the land of Canaan? Johnny, you're saying something? Remember, Hashem, if you look in Parshas Lech Lecha, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Aleph, when Hashem spoke to Avram, he doesn't tell him where to go. He says, Lech Lecha, go for yourself. You should leave Moladetcha, Mibes Avicha, Artzacha, Artz Asher Eraka. There's going to be some land, but he doesn't give him ways. He doesn't give him exact directions. Remember MapQuest before Waze? Does anyone remember MapQuest? You had gone to the computer, you're smiling, Hashem, but you remember before your trip, you would type where you're going, you would print up the paper, and we thought that that was so like... advanced. Okay. So he doesn't get that. Walk till you get there. So how's he going to know when he gets there? So Rabbi Zavlov says that there's a medrash that says, a very beautiful medrash. He walked from land to land. And the first place he saw people, I don't know, building. The second place he saw people doing this. The third place, when he got to Eretz Canaan, he saw people planting. And he knew that this was the land. In a land where people plant seeds and they set down roots and something grows from that seeds, he knew that that was the land of Ruchnius and that's the land of the Ribono Shel Olam. When you plant seeds and there's going to be growth, we spoke about Kapitel Aleph of Tehillim, V'haya ka'esh shasu al pagei ma'im, asher priyo yitim be'ito, v'alei lo yibol. It'll be like a tree planted by streams of water. The leaves won't wither. That will give fruit in its time. This is the truest test of a tzaddik. If he can plant seeds and roots, and from those seeds and roots, talmidim will grow, peros will grow, spiritual or biological, or spiritual and biological children will grow. That's a sign of a tzaddik. So how did, I don't know, Rabbi Zalov didn't quote where the medrash is, so I'm not sure where the medrash is, but if he said it, it's a medrash. So Avraham Avinu is walking and walking. When he gets to land where he sees people planting, he knows that that's the right land. This is the land of Ruchnius. If you're involved in planting, then that's the right place to be. That's what the Mechaber says here about tzaddikim. They've worked hard. Why am I bringing you that medrash? Just because I like the medrash and I want to tell you what Rabbi Zevlov said? You know it could be. But no, because the Mechaber actually said they've worked hard to plant their trees in a world of goodness, which reminds me of this medrash. That's what Avram knew when he was in the right place. When we were in Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, Baruch Hashem, one of the things we did is we went to Shemitah farm in the north. He's the only farmer who keeps Shemitah the Chumrah in the north. There's 11 children, Kanai Nahar. This is his third Shemitah, keeping Shemitah the Chumrah. It was so amazing. It was indescribably amazing. He has pecan trees, oranges, lemons, grapefruits. We tasted the oranges. They were in Kedusha Shvi, so we could eat them. Or you could eat Kedusha Shvi, but you just have to be careful. Like, it was okay if the peels fell on the ground. We even cut into the lemons. We tasted the lemons and the grapefruits, and he gave us pecans to taste, and he took us to the farm. And he is such a havas Eretz Yisrael, it's unbelievable. Now, I'm not a rabbi, I'm not paskaling anything. You ask your own rav, okay? He was talking about Heter Mechira. So nobody email me and tell me you don't agree with the farmer. I don't care if you agree with the farmer or not. I'm telling you what he said. Please do not email me about this. He said Heter Mechira is nothing. Why did he say that? I don't want anyone to email me. I just gave a whole shir. I am very Tzioni. I love Eretz Yisrael. The OU does not rely on Heter Mechira. I personally do not rely on Heter Mechira. You could do whatever your rabbi tells you, okay? He says Heter Mechira. So I said, but isn't Heter Mechira better than working the land during Shemitah? So he said, no, Heter Mechira is nothing. He said, he was talking in Hebrew. He said, you can't sell Eretz Yisrael. The sale doesn't take effect. So if you try and sell, he says, harvest Eretz Yisrael. He said, if you try and sell Eretz Yisrael, there's no sale. You can't. I could sell my watch if I wanted to sell my watch. I could sell my computer if I, for some reason, wanted to sell my computer. I could sell my house if I wanted to sell my house. The sale takes effect. But when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, he says, you can't sell Eretz Yisrael. Could you sell the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael? So because you can't sell Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't take effect. There's no sale. So if there's no sale, you still own the land. So if you still own the land, it's like with the land on Shemitah, you're such a... So I said, do you have menuchas and nefesh? He says, I have so much menuchas and nefesh. Hashem will provide. He won't even take any money from the state. He doesn't even want any money from Keren Shvi. He says, I don't want to be paid for the mitzvah of doing Shemitah. There's, on the bottom of the trees, you know, like there's weeds that will grow right at the base of trees. And he explained that these are called chazirim, little shoots that come at the bottom of the trees. Why are they called chazirim?
They come back.
What?
They come back.
No. Why is it called chazirim? What do you think they do to the tree? It's little shoots that grow at the base of the tree. Chazer. They take the sap. They're like...
We were thinking return.
What?
We were thinking return.
Oh. No, chazer. Oh, no, chazer. Chazirim. Oh, wait, it's both. I just thought of something about Shorashim. Someone who's a Chazer will return to take more and more. Maybe that's why they have the same Shorash. Chazir and Chazer. They're called Chazirim because they like draw the sustenance from the tree. If you would look at, I have a picture of it. They're little shoots. So they said the first thing the farmer does when he goes into his field is he trims and cuts the chazirim because they sap the strength of the tree. They could destroy the tree. They're taking the nutrients from the tree. And you see them. My brother said to me, you want to see what a muna is? Look at these shoots. They do nothing with them. They don't touch them. And you could see across the other way the pristine, perfect farms that are being worked and his that are totally overgrown with the chazirim. You can't pick anything. It's so, and he's a Havas Eretz Yisrael. He gave each of us a bracha. It was just incredible. I said it was one of the highlights of my trip. He's the only smart farmer that keeps Shemitah Luchoma in the north, and his emuna is just unbelievable. What is he doing? He's planting. Oh my gosh, it's this week's parsha. Is there a Vayikra? Is that Vayikra? Can you pass me that? Orla, in this week's parsha, you have a command to plant trees in Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't matter, this is a Baal term, but I don't need the Baal term right now. We need the Baal term, but not at this exact second. It's mamash this week's parsha. V'chi tavo el ha'aretz unitatem kol eitz machal. You have a mitzvah to go to Eretz Yisrael. It's mamash, well, it's this week's parsha in Chutzarts. Kodoshim, okay? If you're listening online and you're in Zoch Tfi in Eretz Yisrael, it's not relevant to you. But, well, it's always relevant, but it's not relevant to the parsha of Shavua. It's Perek Yutes, Pasuk Chav Gimel. V'chi tavo el ha'aretz. And the Medrash says, we have a chiyuv to, the Medrash doesn't say this. The Gemara says in a couple places, we have a chiyuv to emulate Ribono Sholem. In two different places, we have a directive. Mahu malbisha rumim afata. Mahu rachim lechanan afata. That's Sota and Shabbos, respectively. So you have a mitzvah to emulate the ways of the Ribono Shel Olam. There's a medrash that says, just like God planted a garden, where did Hashem plant in a garden? In Gan Eden. So too, we have a mitzvah to plant. We have to emulate Hashem, and you also have to plant. Hashem is compassionate. You have to be compassionate. Hashem does nichum aveilim, perachav hei pasuk yoda yoda alf. You have to do nichum aveilim. Hashem does bikurchom. You have to do bikurchom. He's chanun v'rachum. You have to do what Hashem does. So there's a medrash that says, just like Hashem plants, where does he plant? He planted Gan Eden. So you too have to plant. Mamash this week's parsha kedosh and perikutes parsha chav gimel. V'chi savo el ha'aretz. What's the aretz? There's only one ha'aretz when you talk about the land. And what's the aretz? It's not Australia or America or Canada or New Zealand. V'chisavo el ha'aretz unetatem kol eitz machal. And you plant every kind of food tree. Eitz machal, food for eating. V'alartem erlo so'es priyo shalosh lanim yelecha merelim lo yachal. So for 3 years you are not allowed to eat from the fruit of that tree. It is something that is called orla. So what does the Baal term say? Call eitz machal gematria zeu bepilpulin with peppers. Why would it refer specifically to peppers? Okay, it includes the pepper tree. Okay, I'm talking about the pshat. The pshat is that when you come to land, you're going to plant trees in Eretz Yisrael. How did Avram Avinu, says Rabbi Zev, left? The Medrash says, no, when he got to Eretz Yisrael, they weren't building, they weren't studying, they weren't teaching. There were no Jews. Even Avram Avinu wasn't a Jew, as we understand it. But what were they doing? Planting. When a person is planting, it indicates a tremendous degree of ruchnius, a connection to the Ribono Shel Olam, and emunah. Why is it emunah to plant? Because what do you put in the ground? A seed. What do you do with the seed? You look like you're killing the seed. You cover it with some dirt. Then you drown it with water. Then you say you're killing the seed. Drowning it, dirting it. Maybe you should, you know, keep it pristine in a glass jar and never give it air or water or something. So what's going to happen? It's going to die. Why is it so much amuna to be a planter? Because you have to have amuna, b'vias ha-mashiach. It has to look, you put something in the ground and it's dark and it's dank and it's damp and it's wet and it's pouring and the next day it's a hot, boiling hot. So how could the seed possibly survive? So to us, it's not such a kasha because you all know that the seed's going to grow. But think of someone who never saw this before. So a planter is someone who has tremendous emuna. Seder Zraim is called Seder Emuna. It's tremendous emuna. We're just used to it. So you're not like so excited. Why are you so excited? Because you know that the seed's going to grow. But Lamaisa, if you never saw it before, you don't know the seed's going to grow. You don't know what's happening. How did Avram Avinu know where Eretz Canaan was? Where the Hashkacha is more than anywhere else? Last week's parasha. Perek Yud Ches, Pesukim Chaf Dal through Chaf Hei, Golok up the Ramban. The Hashkoch of the Ribbono Shel Olam is so tremendous over Eretz Yisrael, it's incomparable to any other land. How did Avraham Avinu know it was land? Because people were planting. What does planting mean? I have such emunah that Hashem will take care of me. I have so much emunah that this plant will seed into something. What do we do in our lives? We're constantly planting as well. And a person like Aheni Machas, Allah Hashem, a person like Rabbi Zachariah Wallerstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Kedoshim that Hashem took in the prime of their lives, when they were doing so much for the klal, they're planters, because Tzadikim, their hearts are under their control. Bechol Levavcha, who's the primary Bambayis by them? By Michal or Tzatzakasha. Usually the Yetzer is a primary Bambayis by me, but by these Tzadikim, who's the Bambayis, the primary one? The Yetzer Hatov. They work hard to, quote, plant their trees. The Shemitah farm was so inspiring. I'm starting off my shiur tomorrow morning by saying this. So if you're zooming in tomorrow morning, whatever, you're going to hear it tonight and tomorrow morning. My father-in-law said something so astute to one of my children. My children told it over to me. My child told it over to me. My father-in-law said, if you've never been to Eretz Yisrael, if a person has never been to Eretz Yisrael, you can't describe it to them. Is that true? Would you say that that's true? And if you have been to Eretz Yisrael, when you come back, you can't describe it. Wow. If you have someone who's never been to Eretz Yisrael, you cannot possibly describe it. And if you have been to Eretz Yisrael, you also can't describe it. So I'm trying to tell you how amazing the Shemitah farm was, but I don't have words to explain how inspiring, what a Baal Amuna, and what an experience it was to stand in his farm with the Golan Heights overlooking. He was explaining to us how before 1967, you couldn't even plant there because they would just constantly shoot down. I mean, it's a plain, it's a flat valley, and they would just shoot down. But now it's his third time keeping Shemitah L'Chumrah. He says, how could you sell Eretz Yisrael? You can't sell Eretz Yisrael. It takes no effect. You still own it. They've worked hard to, don't email me. If you don't agree with him, don't take it up with me. I'm not telling you what to do or what not to do. I'm stating what he said. They've worked hard to, there is a shita, by the way. There is a shita that you can't sell Eretz Yisrael. That's what he said. Now, obviously, those who rely on Heter Mechira say you can sell Eretz Yisrael. So I'm not a rabbi. I'm not paskening anything. They've worked hard to plant their trees in a world of goodness. Except for one branch that might incline to the side of evil, must be restored to the side of good. So a tzaddik has primarily a gevaldik tree full of pirio yite beito ve'aleu lo yibal. The leaves are not withering, the fruit is not falling off the tree, and they only have one branch to the side of bad. So lemaisa, they have this beautiful tree of a yetzer hatov. They have one branch, you know, that's going askance. How do you say that word? Askance? Yeah, and that's the yetzer hara. But the Rishaim, says the Medrash, their hearts are not under their control. Excuse me. They are under the power of the Yetzer Hara. The primary Ben Bayis, the double B's, is by them the Yetzer Hara. And they must struggle with each negative desire. That's Michoretz. My Yetzer is so strong. It's very bad. I don't like him. You should go find, not any of you. Go find somewhere else. They're under the power of the Yetzer Hara. They must struggle with each negative desire and restore it to the side of goodness. So what I'm going to do, since he quotes the Midrash, could I give this back to you to put back on the table, Elishaba? Thank you. Okay. Is quote the Midrash that the author has just actually quoted. I like, if possible, to look up the source. Okay. Oh, what is Shemitah? Okay. So planting trees is in this week's parasha, Kedoshim. Next week is Emor, Sfiras HaOmer, the Chagim. The week after that is Bahar. Bahar is the mitzvah of Shemitah. Shemitah is the seventh sabbatical year when the land lies fallow. Eretz Yisrael, this does not apply in any other land. It's called a mitzvah Tliya Ba'aretz, a land-dependent mitzvah where the land is counted in 7 years, a cycle. Every cycle is 7 years. And every seventh year is like a Sabbath. Okay, Shemitah is known as a Shabbat. Shabbat la'aretz, Shabbat la'Hashem, a rest of the land, a rest of God. It's in Perek Chof Hei of Vayikra. And after seven sabbatical years, 7 times 7, 49, the 50th year is a special year called the Yovel year, when all land that you sold, perhaps Yovel is the proof, because what happens in Yovel, all land that you sold, what happens? Goes back to the original owner, which really tells you that the land, lo timaker ha'aretz litzmisus, the land cannot be sold in perpetuity. Am I saying the word right?
Perpetuity.
Perpetuity, right? So 7 years is a sabbatical cycle where the farmers in Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara calls them Giborei Chayil. They are mighty warriors because they put down their tools for a whole year and they say Hashem will provide. And 7 times 7 is 49, so the 49th year is the 7th Shemitah cycle, and the 50th year is the Jubilee Yovel cycle, where you proclaim freedom throughout the land for all of its inhabitants, and each man returns his ancestral heritage, and it's like a double sabbatical year. If that did not answer your question, did that answer your question? Yes? Okay, very good. Okay. Good question, thank you. Sometimes I take you for granted, so you need to remind me if I say something that I think is clear. That's not, I appreciate when you let me know. Okay, 1 second, please. I need to, this is big, so I need to move this over. Just 1 minute. Okay, so let's go to the Medrash, okay? So our author has quoted a Medrash, and the Medrash tells us, let's just look in the Sefer one more time. Tzadikim, their hearts are under their control. Quote, they've worked hard to plant their trees, except for one branch that might incline to the side of evil, and must be restored to the side of good. That's like the chazirim. That's a good mashal for the bottom of the sweeter farmer trees. Right there, they have this big, beautiful tree. You should have tasted the oranges, and even the lemons, and the grapefruit. It was so delicious, and the pecans. It was so delicious. But they have like the chazir that they need to prune on the bottom, okay? Whereas the Rasha'im, the wicked, their hearts are not under their control. Rather, they're under the power of the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. So they are constantly struggling with each negative thought and desire, and they have to try to restore themselves to the side of goodness. So what I did was, I went to look up the Medrash. Okay, oh wait. I didn't put a bookmark in.
67.
1 second, please. Okay, here it is. Okay. Okay, Samech Zayin Ches. The Medrash is talking about, you're welcome. I'm glad it's clear now. The Medrash is based on a pasuk about Esav Harasha. And Bereishis Perachof Zayin, after Yaakov Avinu takes the blessings from his father Yitzchak, he dresses up in Esav's hairy hunting garments and he gets the blessing. Then Esav comes in and he freaks out because, don't you have one blessing for me, father? What does the pasuk say? Vayistom Esav es Yaakov ala bracha sher bercho aviv. Esav hated Yaakov over the blessing that his father blessed him. Vayomer Esav. Does anyone know the next word? Billy Bo. Yikruvu yimei evel avi. Va'ahar ga es Yaakov echi. Why does the pasuk say Vayomer Esav?
Billy Bo.
Hello? Billy Bo. It should just say, and Esav said, when my father dies, I'm going to kill Yaakov. Why does it, remember, every word of Chumash is of paramount importance. Every letter is of paramount importance. Nothing could be ignored. So the Medrash is trying to explain why it says, and Esav hated Yaakov over the blessing that his father blessed him. And Esav said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father will come close, and I will kill Yaakov, my brother. Yeah, you understand the kasha? We're going back to Billy Bo, which is how I started the whole shir. V'ahavta shemakecha b'chol levavcha. So why does Esav say in his heart? So before I even go into the Medrash, I'm going into the Artscroll Medrash Rabbah set is so fantastic, and they have many added insights on the bottom. It looks like the Artscroll Gemara, but they have in the bottoms insights culled from all different sources. So I'm going to start with this Esav's anger. So the Mechaber, the author, is speaking all about the Rasha'im who are under the influence of their negative desires, their negative thoughts, their Yetzer Hara. Esav's anger. It would appear from the Medrash that it was only after Esav lost the blessings to his rival, Yaakov, that the emotions of hatred and vengeance became his obsession. We don't see before, at least not in the Pshat, that he swears to kill his brother. Okay. They make a deal, lentil soup, you get the bechora, I don't need it, I'm going to die anyway. So you could, Rabbi Zachary Wallerstein brings down a fascinating insight in a safer honor there, revere them, which is co-authored with Yibada L'chaim Tovim Aruchim of Shimon Finkelman, that Esav so excelled in the mitzvah of Kibud Av Ve'Em. Why does he say, Hinei Anochi Holeich Lemus, V'Lamaz Eli Bechor, behold, I'm going to die, what do I need the right of the firstborn for? He excelled in Kibud Av. He was saying, I hunt so much to bring my father game. I'm probably going to die because of the mitzvah of Kibud Av, that I go to the fields, time for my father. So therefore, why do I need the Bechora? Okay, just a Torah insight from Rabbi Wallerstein Zatzal. So it would appear from the Medrash, we have so many people in person tonight, it's like a Shachayadu. Wow, Kenai Nahar. And on Zoom. Kein Yerbu. It would appear from the Medrash that it was only after Esav lost the blessings to his rival Yaakov that the emotions of hatred and vengeance became his obsession. So only once he lost the blessings. Now, all of a sudden, he's swearing to kill his brother. Did he hate him before or not? Was it only the blessings? Is that the only reason? What's going on with Esav? In a related observation, Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz was once asked why a God-fearing Jew who has a halachic question regarding kashrus will immediately go to the Rav for a ruling. And if the ruling is that the item is prohibited, he will accept it without hesitation or dispute, regardless of the monetary loss involved. So if you're told something is not kosher, none of us here would ever dream of eating it. It's not even a shayla. I don't know, somehow your roast, someone came and poured, forget the batel b'shishim, okay? Butter, chal v'shal, but the butter, and a whole carton of milk, and it was a special roast, and you splurged, and you bought the ones. Do you ever look at the ones? Maybe you buy them. In Gourmet God, there are like $104, $160. I look at them, I say, who buys this? Baruch Hashem, if you could buy it, l'kavod yom tov, it's a wonderful thing. Basar v'dagim v'chal minei matamim. And someone poured butter, a whole container of mahajan butter. So it's not even a shayla. You're going to eat it? Well, it's $165. How can I throw it in the garbage? You're not going to eat it. Nobody here would consider eating it. You'd be happy to throw it in the garbage. I can't eat it. However, the same person will often take liberties in monetary matters, which, by the way, is also Parshas Kedoshim, lo signovu, lo sechachashu isba amito, v'tzadak tishposes amitecha, and he will only go to a rav or a beis din when he is forced by a claimant to do so. So the same guy who would never dream of eating the roast, even at a great monetary loss, has no such problems when it comes to not being so emistic in business, perhaps. Even then, if the rabbi or court rules against him, he will often deride and defame the rabbi or the beis din, the Jewish court. How is it that one who would gladly lose a valuable animal because of the prohibition against eating treif, talking about chazar, what does not care in the least about the prohibition of stealing from his fellow? And again, lo signovu b'gnevas mamon akasum v'daber. Also, this week's parsha, Perek Tes, do not steal. You're talking about monetary matters. Also, this week's parsha, you have to have honest scales. The Chavetz Chaim every day used to measure his scales. Rav Yonasan explains that in the case, listen to this, talking about Yetzer Lev HaAdam Ra Minu Urav and the inclination of man's heart being evil. Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz explains, in the case of kashrus, although the person may suffer a financial loss, no one else is gaining. He's losing, but no one else is gaining. But in business or financial matters, when he loses, somebody else is gaining. And the anguish of seeing another person profiting at his expense is ultimately what distresses him, blinding him to rational thought. This is a characteristic of Esav, of whom the verse says, Vayistam Esav es Yaakov al habracha asher bercho aviv. When did Esav hate Yaakov? When he was losing and somebody else was gaining. Despite the fact that he too was blessed, because Yitzchak did have a blessing for him, ultimately what happened? He couldn't handle that you also got a blessing. And this, does anyone remember in this sefer, one of the most impactful, we've learned many, many things, if you recall years ago, the Mechaber writes, inside every person is every biblical personality. And it's something that stuck. I wish I remembered what page. What? You remember.
I remember you saying that.
It's so powerful. It means inside each one of us is this Midah of Esav. Inside each one of us is this Midah of Bilam, the Tzarus Ai, the stinginess of Ai. Inside each one of us is the Gaiva part. That's what he says. Inside each one of us is every biblical personality. It also means you have the Tmimus, the purity of Yaakov. It also means you have the Anivus of Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Anivus of Moshe Rabbeinu is in a constant battle with the Gaiva of Paro. They both live inside of you at the same time. And Esav and Yaakov are on the same bench on there. The two Bnei Bias, which is your Bambayis. So it's something that we have to contend with. But Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz explains a person can handle losing something, but he can't handle losing something when he sees that somebody else is benefiting. I met someone last week in the grocery with my husband. My husband and I were out, we were in the grocery. So she didn't realize it was me at first. And I said to her, "Hi, so-and-so, it's Micha." She said, "I didn't know you go to the grocery like normal people. Why aren't you home learning?" I said, "Yeah, sometimes I have to go to the grocery." So she said she knew I was in Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, Baruch Hashem. And she said, someone who learns with me for many years in a different venue. And she said, "You have two children in Eretz Yisrael?" So I said, "No, our daughter's in seminary, Baruch Hashem." She said, "Oh, I thought you have two children there." I said, "No." She says, "Because, you know, I was trying to make a cheshbon of how Micha Horowitz could afford to go to Israel for Pesach. I haven't been there in 2.5 years. Now, I did not say anything. But the kina of a person, and I'm thinking to myself, are you the Ribono Sha'olam? Why are you making a cheshbon? Do you know about my earmuffs? Do you know anything about my bank account? Do you know how, why are you even thinking such a machshava? Don't have anything else to think about except for how to Micha Horowitz go to Israel for Pesach? There's nothing else in your life that's of a paramount importance? Now, I know someone's going to reach out to me and say, V'idal makavschos. I did not say anything, girl. I didn't even say anything to my husband about it. Who heard it? Because he knows who it was. I didn't say a word. So it's totally anonymous. It happens to be that she is not in this year. Maybe she'll hear it online, actually. I hope that she will, in a way. I did not say anything, but I think it's a lesson for all of us. I haven't been in so long, that's not my problem. I mean, I feel bad for you, but like, so what does that mean? So I shouldn't go to Eretz Yisrael, I can go to Eretz Yisrael. I thought you had two children, so then I was making a cheshbon. Okay, so if she has two children, she doesn't have to bring them home. This is what she's mamish telling me. What does this have to do with you? Why are you telling me that? You can't go to Israel. So I did not say a word to my husband. I didn't discuss it. I didn't say anything to her. I just smiled. Who lives within us? You're not God. I didn't take anything from you.
Be happy for me.
What is my cheshbon? Your cheshbon, what?
She should be happy for you.
That's already pushing it. Okay? That's already pushing it. The common wish, she should be happy for me.
But I...
Who is the prime... It's a Musar Haskel. Who is the primary bambias in my double base? What is my levavcha, my libcha? The yetzer hatova, the yetzer hara. And I was thinking to myself, it's so interesting. I'm planning to give a whole shiur on it, but what I'm teaching now from the Medrash reminds me very much. It just happened last week. It was Thursday. I was very disturbed. Not because I'm insulted, not because I care, because I'm not God, you're not God, it's your problem. But it's so disturbing that this is how we think. And we think it's okay to speak like this to other people. We're not even embarrassed. There's no busha to tell me to my face. I thought you have two kids here, so I thought, oh, so Micha Horowitz can, instead of bringing two kids home, she could go. I'd not even say. It's so astonishing. Who's the ben bias by me? The bais of the Yetzer HaTov, bias. Levavcha, double bais. Bais is a bias. Whose primary residence am I? Am I planting? Am I setting down seeds? Do I have the emuna? Do I know that this is the land because this is where the Ribono Shel Olam is? I believe that good will come. I'm so busy, I can't forgive other people. This is the meat of Esav Rasha. I'm not calling her an Esav Rasha. He lives inside every single one of us. He's in me too. And he's in you too. And the Mechaber says every biblical personality is in every person. So it's not just this lady in the supermarket. It's all of us in some way or another. And we have to work very, very hard since after the first sin to uproot, to make sure that Yetzer HaTov somehow can win over the Yetzer Hara. And I was thinking to myself, the Mishnah says, I really wanted to be a Pirkei Avos Thursday night here. Kina taiva v'kavod motzin es ha'odam min ha'olam. And I was thinking to myself, kina, jealousy, kavod, the lust for honor, and taiva, desire, take a person out of this world. And I was thinking how interesting it is that the first murder was precipitated by a person named Cain. Because what midah did Cain have of his brother Hevel?
Kina.
He was jealous of him. Because how could Hashem give Hevel more attention than me? Hevel got more than I got. Hevel had something I did not have. Cain could not handle the fact that he was losing out when who was benefiting. Maybe if Hashem didn't turn to his offering, it wouldn't have been so bad. But Hashem didn't turn to my offering and he turned to your offering? I'm not getting attention from God, and you're getting it. That he couldn't handle. Kayin, kina. It's not an accent. Can't be an accent. Lashon HaKodesh is not an accent. I know kina has an aleph. But you see that the basic root is the same. It's a kuf and a nun. Kayin, kina. And it takes a person out of this world. Because we make the Yetzer Hara, the ben bias by us. So partly you could say we're not at fault because that's how the Ribbono Shel Olam made us post-sin. But like my brother Rabbi Dov Friedman said to me many years ago, Micha, just because something's hard for me doesn't mean I shouldn't work on it. So it's hard. It's hard to make the Yetzer to have the primary guy in there. Because you have a double, you have two tenants. They're both renting space. It's automatic for you two. That's how it works. You have B'chol Avavcha. That's why by the Malachim in Perek Yurches of Bereshis, when they come to visit Avraham Avinu, he says, Sa'adu libchem. V'achare v'achar kein tavoru. Kasher dibatim. He says, V'sa'adu libchem. He offers them food. Stay in my place. Don't go to another town. What does he say to the Malachim? Listen what I'm telling you. V'sa'adu libchem. Notice what he says. He doesn't say V'sa'adu Levavchem, with a double base. He only says Libchem. Why? What did Chazal say there? Because an angel doesn't have two yetzer. He's not pulled. So if I was an angel, so I would not be making cheshbonos about how somebody else could make such a wedding, how somebody else could have such a shaitan, how somebody else could go to yetzer. Are we crazy? I don't have anything to worry about in my life except make. She said I was making a cheshbon. I was cheshboning. How you could go?
So nice of her to do your accounting for you.
So I know people are going to email me to be done the kafschus. Fine, please don't. Refrain, just like the Heter Mechira. My point is that the Yetzer Hara is very strong within each one of us.
I was being sarcastic.
I know, but...
She was definitely in a bad place.
What?
She was definitely in a very low place at that moment.
Okay, it's possible she's in a very low place. Yeah, okay. It's possible she's in a very low place. But the inside of Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz is still emes la'amiso. And we know from our own lives, I might handle being able to lose out, Kain to say. You don't want to pay attention to me, said Kain, that's fine. But to not pay attention to me and to turn to Havel, that's even worse. That I can't handle. What does it lead to? Mamish murder. Vayistom esu belibo ala bracha sherbercho avi vayomer esu belibo yikruvu yimei eva avi v'ahargas Yaakov achi. The same midah that had Kayin kill Havel had Esav want to kill Yaakov Avinu. No wonder Chazal say, no, 1 second, no, please, I have a minute and a half. Kina taiva v'kavod motzin asa adam mina olam. And it's such an avoda to make sure that, and that's why the author says they have worked hard to plant their trees in a world of goodness. It's not easy to become a regular schoolgirl into a Hani Machlis. I don't know. I'm nowhere near a Hani Machlis. I'm probably never in my life going to be. Not probably. I'm never in my life going to be a Hani Machlis. But you would imagine that they work hard. It's a famous letter of the Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Kunner. He says to that struggling Talmud, you don't know the battles that the Chofetz Chaim worked on to overcome. We think that the Chofetz Chaim was, you know, you did me bad, kedish me bad, and he came out perfect. The Rav Hutner writes that he didn't come out perfect, that he worked very hard to overcome. He worked so hard on Shemir Salashon. How did Avraham Avinu know when he was Eretz Canaan? Because they were planting, not building, not darshaning, not talking, not sowing. They were planting. And that indicates a tremendous degree of emunah, and it indicates that a person is working to plant himself. And therefore, 1 second, please. I see I have to finish. Please. I'll take it after. But the Rishahim, their hearts are not under their control. They are under the power of the Yetzer Hara. And therefore, a Rasha struggles with each negative desire. And what we have to do is strive to restore it. It's not easy. It's an avoda, but the same kina of Kayin and the same kina of Esav, Rachmana Litzlan, is in each and every one of us. And we have to make sure as much as possible of the daven for Si'ata Deshmaya, that the primary base, the larger base, the ben bias, the true ben bias is the Yetzer Hatov and not the Yetzer Hara. So we hope that the neshama of Miriam Bat Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom, merits a true zechira and aliyah latov and the schus of the Torah that we will share this evening. Now, I wish everyone a good Shabbos, and now I will take comments and questions for everyone else to go. That's fine. 1 second, please. They posted a long time ago. 1 second.
Just a quick comment.
Oh, very nice. So someone said, Chana Wasserman, Vayistom Esav Billy Bo. It doesn't have a double base. It doesn't say Bil Vavo, rather Billy Bo, which indicates perhaps that he only had the Yetzer Hara at that moment, and he was so overcome by the Yetzer Hara that he took a vow to kill his brother. Very, very, very nice. Okay? Yes?
Okay, so I just want to say the comment that the woman made to you, I so often hear people saying those comments amongst themselves about other people. Or comments have gotten back to me about things that other people said, judgments. So why doesn't she do this? Why doesn't she do that? People mind other people's business with how many children other people have, with the family issues, with money, with jobs. I hear it all the time.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. The Yetzer Hara is primarily in charge, unfortunately. That's also this week's parsha. Have a wonderful Shabbos. And Shoshana, thank you for learning with me back to back. Besuras tovos, Laila tov, and good Shabbos to all. Thank you so much.